So my name is Robert Florence. I'm a PhD student at Kansas State. I'm going to talk about a Lyme incubation study that I did along with looking at the subsequent buffer values associated with them. So first, making Lyme predictions is valuable because you want to make money on your farm. So if you Lyme to the right rate or the right pH, using the right rate, not too much, then you should be profitable. And Lyme effects on soils have been studied using incubations, where you take a soil of a set amount, you add different Lyme rates to it, you add some water, you let it sit for a while, and you measure the final pH change. And you can't really do that in a commercial lab for a farmer when they send in samples, because it takes a lot of time and space in the lab. So ways to try to help estimate that is with pH buffered chemicals. And so at Kansas State, we use the Shoemaker-McLean-Pratt buffer, which is the SMP abbreviation. And it has hazardous materials in it, so we're trying to get away from that. And Dr. Sikora, Kentucky, made a mimic to that called Sikora buffer. And these soils, or these buffers, were designed for Ohio soils with high CEC. Dr. Malik at North Carolina State designed a buffer for work in North Carolina and the greater southeast on a wide range of soils. And so if you have the buffer pH values and incubation study, you can compare the two and try to come up with a calibration of the two to come up with Lyme predictions for your state. So there's two approaches. One is just take the pH value you get and compare it to your Lyme incubation study and come with your Lyme recommendations. And that's what Kansas State currently does. So on the y-axis, we have the SMP value that you would get after admixing the soil and the buffer, and then your Lyme recommendation you would get. So as the soil or as the SMP buffer goes down, your Lyme rate increases. And if you have a higher pH target, your Lyme rate would also increase. And there's other approaches to it, and that's one that Dr. Malik took, where he took other variables into account. So it's a two-step process. The first process tries to estimate acidity by looking at the distance the buffer pH changed. The second process takes your target pH and your current soil pH into account, as well as the distance between the buffer pH and your current soil pH. So the objectives of the study are, one, to observe the effect of time, moisture, and Lyme rate on the soil pH change. And the second part is then compare the SMP, modified Malik, and Sikora buffer's ability to protect the soil Lyme requirement. So I broke it into three parts. The first two parts will help with that first objective. We took two soils, a Bellevue soil with 48% sand, a Smolin soil with 10% sand. We added three Lyme rates at 0, 2.2, and 4.5 metric tons per acre as calcium oxide or calcium hydroxide slurry. We had four different moisture contents at 10, 20, 30, and 40% gravimetric. It was kept constant over a period of 28 and 50 days, and we had three replications. And we also wanted to look at, will we see the same results over more soils. So we used these two soils because we had about 50 pounds to work with, and the pedology lab had characterized them. We wanted to see if we would see it with more soils. So from the soil testing lab, we took 19 soils that had been brought in by farmers. We added three Lyme rates to them at 0, 3.4, and 6.7 metric tons per hectare. We had three moisture contents, 15, 30, and 45%, one incubation time, and one replication, just because we only had about a cup of soil to work with. For the third part, which was to do the pH buffer correlations, we took 45 soils, again brought in by Kansas farmers, had five Lyme rates at 0, 2.2, 4.5, 9, and 18 metric tons per hectare, or 0, 1 ton, 2 tons, 4 tons, and 8 tons of English tons per acre. We had soil moisture content at 20% gravimetric, and it wasn't kept constant like the other ones. It went through 8 wet and dry cycles. And then the buffers we used were the ones I mentioned, the SMP, the Sikora, and the modified Malik. And to measure the buffer values, we took 10 grams of soil, added 10 milliliters of water, stirred it, waited 10 minutes, stirred it again, and measured the water pH. Then we added the buffers, stirred it, waited 20 minutes, stirred it, waited another 20 minutes, stirred it, and got the final pH. The reason why I did it by that method is because in the lab we use a pH robot to measure all our soil pHs and buffer pHs. And that's how the pH robot was set up at the time, and so if we were going to incorporate it into the lab, I wanted to be able to see how it would work on the robot as well. So the results of the first part, as it shows that there was no difference between incubating for 28 days and 50 days, but there was a difference between the moisture rates, the lime rates, and an interaction between the two. So I'm going to talk the interaction by the soil. So the first one will be the Bellevue. So on the y-axis is the final pH after, and this is the average of 28 and 50 day incubation. So it's the final pH after both the end of those studies. The moisture content on the x-axis, and then the lime rates by the individual lime. So zero on the bottom, 2.2 metric tons in the middle, and the 4.5 metric tons on the top. And at the 40% moisture content, there was always an increase in the pH compared to the lower contents. And again, we see that in the Smolin soil as well. And what what's probably happening is we created saturated conditions, which created a reducing environment, which then increased the pH. And we saw a similar effect on those 19 soils that we had unreplicated. So what this table is the moisture content at 15, 30, and 45%, and the average pH difference between no lime at that moisture content and 6.7 metric tons of lime at that moisture content. And I did did a paired t-test for all the samples because they each reacted differently to the lime. So when you do a paired t-test and compare the 15 to 30 and the 30 to 45 and the 15 to 45, there was a difference between all of them, with the 45 having the biggest lime rate change, which was similar to the previous results. And on the third part, which we looked at the 45 farmer soils, the first buffer we looked at was the SMP. And I broke the soils down in three parts. The first part were soils between a water pH of 4.2 to 5, 5 to 5.5, and 5.5 to 5.8. And when we look at the buffer pH alone versus the lime rate from the incubation study to a target of 6, we see that there's somewhat of an overall trend, but when you look at the individual sections or the individual pH categories, there's an up and down line for the 5.5 to 5.8, another up and down for 5 to 5.5, and somewhat linear for the 4.2 to 5. And that's kind of not what I wanted to see, because that means that if you're in that 5.5 to 5.8 range, one metric ton of lime will get you to 6 regardless of the pH value. And when we compare that to the calculated lime rate from that previous graph I showed on the introduction, we took the calculated lime rate that we would have calculated versus what we saw in the incubation study. Again, it doesn't. There's just not a good trend there. It deviates from the one-to-one line. And we see similar results with the Sakura, which is expected because it was a mimic of the SMP. And the numbers were shifted a little bit. You know, it's probably due to the Sakura buffer uses 10 mils of buffer, and the SMP uses 20 mils of buffer, so it was a little bit of a dilution effect. So the numbers did shift, but the trends are the same. However, when we look at the modified Malic, we see a similar trend when you only look at the pH buffer, where there's the up and down lines on the 5.5 to 5.8 and the 5 to 5.5. But whenever you use Malic's equation and take everything else into account, it begins to straighten out and looks pretty. So it's not exactly on the 1-to-1, but with a few modifications to the equation, it could possibly lie on that 1-to-1 and would be a promising switch for the lab as well. One thing I forgot to mention while we were looking at the Sakura modified Malic was the hazardous materials. These do not have hazardous materials, so it would lower a cost and safety. So the conclusions are that when fine particle lime is added and moisture is maintained, 28 days is adequate for an incubation study. Saturation did increase soil pH. And solely relying on buffer pH may pose issues with lime requirement estimations. And the Malic's calculation better predicted lime requirement than KSU's current calculation. So we'll probably change the calculation or switch over to Malic and do some changes. So with that, I'll take questions or comments. Yes, sir.
First thing, according to all of our introductory soil stacks, Kansas is less than the 50s. You're quite dry, and all of your samples were less than 5.8 pH.
Right.
How that?
Well, so most of these soils were in. So Kansas is on a water gradient. So in the eastern Kansas is about 40 inches of rain on the line with Missouri. Western Kansas is about 7 10 inches of rain a year. And so we mostly deal with the eastern Kansas soils. And then I hand-picked these from the lab to be low pH so I could get a lime response to them. And mostly in the south, if you're in southeastern Kansas, they'll have lower pH soils, they're more weathered. Or if you're on the south central, you'll have really low pHs, and they just never lime, so it just stays low. Did that answer your question? I forgot the question already. Was that the...
So it's just kind of, most people, you know, most of our introductory texts all say you're, the farther west you go, the higher the pH is going to be, and you're well below neutral.
Right.
I take it none of these soils, obviously, they have no free calcium carbonate.
Right, no. In western Kansas, you will get higher pH because they get less rainfall, so it's less weathered. But in eastern Kansas, the pH is lower, especially in southeast, south central. Yes, ma'am. Yes. So I took it out. So the organic matter range in Kansas is somewhere between about 1 to 4%. And on that sample, it was 10%. And it was probably a garden sample that just looked like it wasn't a garden sample. And on the lime requirements for that was quite outrageous. I think it was like 10 English tons per acre. So I took it out because it just didn't match the other. One, it was probably a garden sample. Two, it didn't match what was in Kansas, and it was a high lime requirement. So that's why I took it out.
All right, if there's no more questions, we'll move on to our next speaker.